天气怎么样？天气怎么样 ？How's the weather？ 天气怎么样？How's the weather？ How's the weather？ 是由科学家 Campbell Watson 与艺术家林子桓共同创作的电台节目，是立方空间花鼓电台的节目。我们使用访问的方式，收集受访者的讯息，慢慢地从天气谈到各级的主题。天气被视为进入观看世界的起点，天气无所不在，我们在天气里面，我们改变天气，但实际上天气正在改变我们。这集我们要谈的主题是乌托邦 Utopia。
My name is Shannon Mae McKenzie. I make money by working as a marketing coordinator at a small architecture firm, but I am dedicated to making art and helping community and trying to figure out how to live a sustainable life. And I'm in Richmond, Virginia at the moment.
My name is Pei Xuan.And I'm a visual artist, and I do mostly sculptures and installations. The overall theme has something to do with mobility and migration, but I like to kind of approach it now through thinking about landscape and portraiture.
My name is Maria Virginia, and I live in Taipei. And I'm an architect, and I'm a photography artist working with different media. And I use photography to do the documentation of landscape from the climate perspective. Climate is shaping our perspectives on the daily culture and how much it affects our way of living in space. For example, like in Japan and Europe and the United States, the way to inhabit space is very different. In Japan, it's very common to warm up an object, for example, a table or even a toilet. And in Europe, there is a culture of heating up the house. So the house itself is heated from the center, like a fireplace, for instance. United States instead has a culture of warming up the air. So they sort of live in a bubble of air, like an air-conditioned air. So that's a very different way of living in space. And because I moved a lot and traveled a lot for my work and life, I sort of become interested in those things.
天气怎么样? How's the weather?
It is super hot and humid. It is 11 p.m. right now, but our temperature outside is like 32 Celsius, which I don't know, maybe like 90 something Fahrenheit.
Hot and humid. It is, the high today is 95 degrees. My mom's a water toxicity research scientist, and I don't know if you know or follow the dew point, but the dew point today is 71 degrees, which is a very, very high dew point, which is what sort of determines whether or not it's going to be miserable outside.
I think it's the temperature at which if you take the air and you cool it down to that temperature,then you get like mist and fog. So the moisture in the air turns from a gas into a liquid or like forms dew.
露点温度是在固定气压之下，空气中所含的气态水达到饱和而凝结成液态水所需要降至的温度。在这个温度时，凝结的水漂浮在空中称为雾，而粘在固体表面上时则称为露。
Today I smell a lot of motorcycles, and I hear a lot of noises in the street. It's quite loud, actually, if you spend time outdoor.
I was looking into my computer, so I was seeing things on my computer, and I was feeling anxious because we did not turn on the air conditioning in our studio today, so... And we could feel like this draft of humid wind coming from the balcony part of our studio all the way to the back of our studio. And it was quite dusty too. Kind of sweaty, so always sticky feeling on my body. And my ideal weather would be 25 degrees Celsius. And it can be sunny, but it can also be cloudy or it can be rainy. I don't
My
care.
My ideal weather is cool and sunny, about 25 degrees.
Ideal weather situations would be springtime in the desert. What's unique about that weather is in the desert, the temperature can vary up to 30, 35 degrees in a single day. So you'll start the day and it'll be, you know, in the early, it'll be in the like 50 degree Fahrenheit range. And then, so it's like nice and cold and a little chilly. And then slowly by noon, you'll reach, you know, 75, 80 degrees and it's hot and it's beautiful. And you're wearing a t-shirt and sunbathing after, you know, like a winter that's cold and rainy. And then by the evening, it'll go back to being cold. And in that window between winter and summer, it's like this perfect time to be outside around a fire pit. And that was a huge part of where I lived at Arco Santi.
Can you tell us about Arco Santi?
Sure. Arco Santi is an experimental architecture project that started in 1970, brought about by a student of Frank Lloyd Wright named Paolo Soleri. He is from Turin, Italy, and came to the United States to study with Frank Lloyd Wright, didn't know a lick of English, but really loved the idea of being in a community like Taliesin West and learning about architecture. He had already had his PhD in architecture at that point. And then he got there and spent a year and a half and learned about Frank Lloyd Wright's idea of the broad acre city, which is essentially suburbia. And thought to himself in the 1950s, this is not sustainable. There are going to be too many human beings if we keep, you know, growing in population. And if we all get an acre with a dog and a wife and a car, like, we're going to decimate the natural environment and we're not going to have the beautiful community that cities can provide to us, like he had experienced in Italy, where cities were, you know, developed and planned before there was an automobile. So he broke away from Frank Lloyd Wright and eventually started designing these mega city structures. And a lot of them are fully unrealistic. And based on this idea of like kind of, you know, shock art, where they were huge and just a way to try and get people to think differently about how cities can be designed and planned. And in 1969, he released the book Arcology, the City in the Image of Man, and the hype was built, and then they purchased 860 acres out in Mayer, Arizona, and started building the prototype of the Arcology. And it's still there. They're still doing it. The permanent population fluctuates between 70 and 80 people permanent as permanent residents. But through events, their actual capacity of how many people can stay on site and have like a living space is around like 150. And then there's big events that happen throughout the year that bring people that camp. And the largest event that we have, they have going on now is Forum Arco Santi, which this year totaled about 3,000 people on site for 3 days. So warmly referred to as the Carbecue. In 1978, the project had been going on for 8 years. There was a large amount of momentum, and there were these cultural events that were happening every year, which in 1976, the first like big music festival, music and arts festival, was going on. And so it started as an annual event. It happened in 76, it happened in 77, and then it happened in 78. There were performers from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. They were huge thinkers. They're doing doing panel talks, and there were over 100 cars that were parked out in the far field in the middle of the desert on a hot day in October, and there was a catalytic converter that sparked, and all of these cars were parked on a bed of dry grass, and they went up in flames during the festival, and every single car was destroyed. The Cosanti Foundation, which is the nonprofit entity established in 1955, did not have insurance for an event like that because it was 78. And so there's this marked decline in the success of the project that you can measure that happened after 1978, because every single piece of profit that the foundation received, instead of going towards building materials, instead of going towards the educational programs, ended up going to millions and millions of dollars worth of settlements. And like all of these people whose cars blew up and then they were like, well, I guess we're going to sue this organization out in the middle of the desert because they didn't have their shit together. So they spent years and years paying off those. A lot of the cars are actually still buried at Arco Santi. They couldn't get them towed away, so they just, you know, straight up buried them.
How does the weather function? Okay, I know that there is like an average of 30 years. Every 30 years, there is a shift. An average person in their lives, and they can experience like 2 to 3 different climates. Climate is a sort of condition of material environment where we live in. There is some architects like Philip Brahm, for example, and the way they do architecture is kind of similar to the sculpture. So they are shaping the climate masses inside of the building. There was also some radical approach to that. Like in the 60s, there was a Buckminster Fuller talking about it was his dream to cover the entire New York City with a dome. So they wanted to climatize the entire city. After that, there were like different ideas. Like one of them was Biosphere 2, and it talked about filtering the air and living inside of the air and being a part of the air. This brought some balance issues, because if there is too many animal or species living inside of the enclosed space, after a while they will die.
Anything not too extreme. In between the extremes, I think I have a wide spectrum. I think I can make a place comfortable for myself, despite the weather, as long as it is not volcanically hot or like polarly cold. Yeah, but I mean, it really depends.
All personnel report to the nearest tornado shelter.
Tornadoes work.
Yes.
They require this thing called shear. And if you imagine you have two surfaces that are rubbing together in opposite directions, they're shearing against each other. And that's what happens in the atmosphere. You have at two different altitudes, the wind is going at kind of very separate directions, very different directions. And they rub against each other and they create this thing called vorticity, which is like a circulation of the air. And if you have enough moisture in the right place, it creates this energy. And that in itself can, through a whole range of very complex factors, generate a tornado.
龙卷风形成的原因是由于云层上下温度差异过大，造成冷空气下降、热空气上升的小漩涡。此时，空中出现一块块棉花般的白云，称为积云。而后，积云继续在大漩涡中发展，形成积雨云。积雨云内部潜热继续不断地加温，因而产生强大之气流，即所谓之龙卷风。
Because you can have tornadoes, I think, on other planets where there's not moisture, but they have other, like dust or something, and that dust has a certain charge. But it's all about energy and energy differentials, and the moisture on planet Earth contains what we call this moist energy. And it's got partly to do with when water changes phase from gas to water, that there's an energy release.
For me, it have to have a lot of stimulations for my development, professional and also self-development. And that can mean, because I'm an art practitioner, so that means that there must be a lot of art and art-related things to see, but also sort of intellectual stimulation. And ideally, it would be not too far away from nature, but not like completely overwhelmed by wilderness. So definitely more of an urban area. And I don't think I can live isolated either, so yeah, urban.
So when I turned 18, I moved into a tent on a farm and joined a performance collective where we weren't making money. We were farming on the farm that we were living on for food, and in the evenings we were collaborating and creating a performance that we eventually showed on tour. I tried to go to Warren Wilson College, where my parents met and learned all the things that they learned, but art was really sort of something nobody took seriously there, and people majored in art because they were too high to do anything else. And so then I left Warren Wilson and I went to Boston, where it was a difficult community, but it was a community. And I knew I wanted to be there to become an adult and to learn how the world works and not be sheltered from the harsher parts of humanity. And then eventually I found Arco Santi, which by far has been the most balanced of environmental stewardship, creativity, and community.
People will respect each other, respect nature, respect the communities with various differences, there's no left, there's no right. And people can have strong opinions about something, but they can also sort of house room for allowing other people to have their own room in space, basically. And yeah, you're in a place where, yes, there's competition, but there's also relationship building and community and people working on something together.
Which is a metropolitan city, but also has a strong connection to nature. So one good thing about Taipei is that you live in a capital city with like a is very developed, but you can go to the ocean just in 1 hour or less time, and you can go hiking in 30 minutes distance. So that's what makes the place attractive for me, like to be modern but connected to the nature at the same time, I guess.
I think I'll still imagine it being kind of a democratic society. People get to vote, but there's still a government. But the system would allow people's voices to be heard efficiently and not going through a bunch of bureaucratic procedures.
It's more circular, like a circular connections between people. Like, of course, everyone is already connected, but the structure of ideal city, I think, should be having more that communication and more fluid access.
Yeah, maybe it'll be more fluid. Maybe, like you said, you can, it's like a barter and bargaining kind of system. You could exchange labor, you can exchange service, objects, things, creativity maybe also.
Actually, in Russia, we had it a lot. Like, when I was a kid, our family dentist, he escaped into a city which was called Gorod Solnce, Sun City, and they had this community of people which produce goods, like someone is doing ceramics, someone is doing a dentist, and they do this in natural exchange. And that was quite a long time ago, but in that time, like about 15 years ago, it was quite a big thing.
If all of these ideal cities exist in different ways, they should all exist as experiments, right? Because you can fail if it's an experiment, and then you can change the experiment to figure out how it works better. And so, you know, social science should be brought in when deciding how things can be structured socially. You know, environmental scientists should be brought in into that conversation. All of the answers, you know, are out there in one way or another, or can be found by investing in the scientific process. We're not investing in the science behind how we live and how we need to change how we live to do it better, to make it more ideal, to make it more habitable and kinder to the earth and kinder to human beings. So I think that would be the first place to start in dealing with answering the question, what should the social structure look like? There is no one right way to live. While we're trying to like create that and make one right way to live, we're failing miserably because that's not possible. So I think the ideal city is mini cities that all are different and that you know, govern themselves in a way that supports their community and teaches people what community is from a very young age and how necessary it is and how difficult and complicated it is to get along and agree with and agree to not agree with the people that you share your life with and the people that you share your community with.
Voiced by Shannon Mae McKenzie, Peixuan Wong, Maria Lesnina, Campbell Watson, and Zihuan Ling. Edited by Zihuan Ling.
天气怎么样？How's the weather? 天气怎么样？How's the weather? How's the weather?